can you open us up in prayer, please? Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Alturas Baptist Church. If you are a first-time visitor, there are little cards. I believe they're right in front of you. Please fill those out. And yes, thank you. Please fill those out. And I would like to get together and just talk and see how we can help this community and what we can do to help you also. But most importantly, what God can do to help you. And so thank you for joining us today. And I would like to, you know, take you out, get you a cup of coffee, and we'll just talk. Tonight, we have our Bible study at 6 p.m. Please come and join us. It's a lot of fun. And on Wednesday, we get together and we pray. We pray for our community. We pray for our church. And we pray for whatever other needs are out there. And so I ask that each and every person also come and join us. That way we can have more people to pray for, because we don't know everything that's going on, but there's things that may be going on in your life or people that you know that are in need of prayer. But we won't know unless you come and tell us. So come and join us on Wednesday at 6 p.m. For our prayer meeting. And then Friday at 10:30 is women's Bible study. And all the women are having a great time with this. So please come and join them on that also. Picture Day is coming. We are putting together a brand new directory. You do not necessarily have to be a member of this church. But if you want your picture taken to be placed into the church bulletin, you are more than welcome. And that's going to take place on February 4th, right after church service. If you cannot make that, but you still want to be in the directory, then contact my wife, Lisa Bates. She is going to be the photographer. And if you need to make a separate appointment to have the picture taken, just give her a call. Her number's in the bulletin. And we will bend over backwards to make sure that your schedule is taken care of properly. We have a church council meeting next week. Not next week. She's over here going, no, it's not. Yeah, so February 11th. Is when we are having the council meeting. So council members, get ready for that. Men's Bible study at the moment is on hold. We're doing a full restructuring of it, and we're trying to figure out a good time and day for every man to be available to partake in this. We are going to focus on how to be a godly man, and not only for ourselves, our family, but our community, along with inside of this church. And so I need all the men to text me and let me know what day and time is best for you so that I can put this together and make it available for everybody. And if you want, and if you don't know my phone number, it is in the bulletin. You just got to search it out. It's hidden in there somewhere. Let's see. I believe that is it. Is there any other announcements that I don't have or may have forgotten? Ryan, do you have anything?
Yes.
Okay.
Prayers for the Grand Fish Project. We're going down to the Women's Restoration Friday. Sherry Wilson is going to be praying for the upstairs. So prayers to God to give us the guidance and direction to share what you have to share.
All right, and now as we continue our worship service, I will ask that you just focus on God. Mm-hmm. Allow God your entire attention.
Yeah. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burden, the God who is our salvation. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will bless your name forever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness.
He wraps himself in
Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God.
Thank you.
be seated.
All right. Good morning and welcome to ABC for our service this morning. All right, so some of you I don't recognize for being here last week, so I need to do a recap because today's message is part two of last week. Now, with last week, I had to stop early. I ran out of time. So along with this recap, I'm also going to finish the last two points of that message because it really ties into this week. And so last week we looked at how we are supposed to be living with the Spirit of God in our daily lives. We ended up running out of time. I got ahead of myself. We ended up, bypass, cut, start over. All right. We learned that there were three categories that all human beings live with and use on a daily basis. Now, those three things is personhood, performance, and passion. Every human being uses those three categories. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a non-Christian, an atheist who hates God with every fiber of their being, or the President of the United States. Those three things are going to occur in your life. And then we looked at what the disciples of Jesus experienced on the day of Pentecost. What an emotional experience that was for them. I mean, to have the Holy Spirit come upon you in such a rush, like a heavy wind. And you may be wondering, well, how did that feel? You know what that felt like the day the Holy Spirit came upon your life and became part of your soul. And then we came to the seven specific reactions that we are to live out, to promote, and to exemplify on a daily basis. And what are those seven things? Well, number one, we covered 1 through 5. And I got to 5 and I ran out of time. Number one, God's people want to learn about Him. That means we want to study the Word of God daily. That's how we learn who God is, what God stands for, and how He is to help us throughout our life. Number two, God's people want to be with each other. That means to fellowship with one another, to be in the presence of other children of God. Now, whether that's on a daily basis or not, that's up to your schedule. But the fact is we have to fellowship with one another. We have to be in each other's presence in order to fulfill the will of God. Number three is the miraculous will occur. Now, watching God's miracles happening in this valley is something that we should all be searching for. We should all be wanting and praying and focusing on. Now, I am new to this area, and you know, most of you know that, but for those who don't, I am very new to this area, only 2 months, almost 2 months. And so, but here is what I have witnessed. Here is what I know needs to happen in this valley. Number one, the hopeless people of this valley need to be given hope in order to survive. The lost in this valley need to be saved. The broken marriages in this valley need to be restored. Children born into life of despair need to be given a chance to live life with joy. And the alcoholics and the drug addicts of this valley need to be delivered from their addictions. They need to have those chains broken and taken away from their lives. I know what those chains are like as an alcoholic back in the 90s. I know how much that can bear you down. And there is only one way that those chains of addictions can be broken, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Deliverer. And it doesn't matter. I was about to go on a tangent. Number four, the church has to be unified. God's ultimate desire for all of us is that His children be unified all the time. It doesn't matter what denomination that we serve. It doesn't matter who we are in stature or no stature. If His children are not united, then we have a scriptural responsibility to get united with one another. Now, you may be asking, Pastor, what are you talking about? Scriptural responsibility for this. It's not my place. Well, Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, Jesus' words, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. We have the scriptural responsibility to unify all of God's children. Number five, generosity abounds. If we are doing what Scripture tells us to do, then God's generosity for us will be plentiful. And now we come to where we had to stop last week. Number six, God is to be continuously praised for everything in your life. Whether that is good or bad, He is to be praised for everything. Now, when it comes to the church, in a dead church, people often talk about how great or not great the music is. How horrible that drummer in the corner is. How great or not great the pastor is. And how horrible that message was today. That is what a dead church does. But a church that is alive in the Holy Spirit, that is focused on other things, the conversations tend to be more about how God is great. I have experienced both of those examples, and I will tell you right here and right now, it is absolutely great and refreshing to see this church body passionately living for the Lord. Passionately following that second example that I gave. In a church that is experiencing the manifest presence of the living God, our people don't notice the music, the guy in the corner, the pastor, or the little boy that'll sit up in the front, unable to hold still. We don't notice those things because this church body is focusing on God, which is where we should be. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, the seventh reaction that we have to exemplify is sinners have to be saved. Are we to do the saving? No. But we are to lead those who are lost to our Savior to be saved. And again, when we are experiencing God's glory, sinners see their sin for what it actually is. One of two things are going to occur when that happens. Number one, they are going to either turn to God or they're going to run away from him as fast as possible. Now, I would also say as far as possible, but can you really get very far away from God? No. I myself have done both of those. I ran away from God for 20 years in my youth because too many bad things were happening that I blamed God for. And then I got smart. Well, I wouldn't say smart. I wisened up a little bit. And I realized I needed God to help me through my life. I needed him when the hard times hit. I even found out I needed him when the good times hit. Because it doesn't matter. You're never going to have good times every day of your life. You're going to have what I call a roller coaster ride in this life. You need God every single day of your life. It doesn't matter if it's a good day or a bad day. Now, today we are back. We are still in the book of Acts. And at the beginning of the book, just before the resurrected Jesus ascends into heaven, he tells his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit and that he had been promising. Now, the title of today's message is Walking in the Spirit. And we will be in the book of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now, of course, I will be reading from the New King James today. Now, Jesus tells his disciples that when they get the Holy Spirit, that they will have power to be his witnesses in the whole world. Now, in Scripture, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit what? The Helper. Exactly. He doesn't really ever say the Holy Spirit. He says the Helper. So the Helper is to help us in the ministry, in our life, in the life of others. But getting back to this, getting back to my notes here. This is the purpose of getting the Spirit. If you get the Spirit and you do not witness, the best example I could come up with is that would be like getting a brand new pickup truck and just letting it sit in your driveway. It doesn't make any sense. If you have the Holy Spirit in your life, you should be telling the world. You should be proclaiming exactly what God has done for your life. And the Holy Spirit gives you that ability. His disciples follow his directions. And they waited for 10 days. Now, I imagine that was probably the longest 10 days of their life. They Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, had told him, hey, go hang out in Jerusalem. I'm going to send a helper to you. Okay? Then 10 days later, the gift. At around 9 a.m. in the morning, on the day of Pentecost, in an upper room in Solomon's portico on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit comes upon them with the sound of a rushing wind. Now we know this because of the Greek translation. In Greek, the word pneuma is used in the New Testament 385 times. And what is the definition of pneuma? Well, this is where we get the word pneumatic from. And what is pneumatic? It's air. The actual definition of pneuma is spirit, wind, and breath. That is in the New Testament 385 times. Well, I don't remember seeing that in the Old Testament. Well, that's because in the Old Testament, the word was ruach. And that also had the definition of spirit, wind, and breath. And that was in the Old Testament 389 times. So pneuma and ruach was pretty important. And Peter gets his breath after receiving the Holy Spirit. And he stands up and he begins to preach bolder than he's ever preached before. Peter always, see, this is the problem with Peter, though. Peter is the type of person that he speaks before he thinks. Okay? My wife will say, I'm like this, that I'll just speak before I think, which is why I have my notes. But here's just a few examples of Peter speaking before thinking or doing before thinking. Matthew 14:30. Peter is taking his first few steps on the water with Jesus. And then what happens? He takes his focus off of Jesus' face. And what happens? Splash! He plummets into the water. Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Peter recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. And then he immediately does what? He rebukes Jesus. What? Where was he thinking on that? When Jesus says something that Peter didn't like, Peter rebuked the Messiah. That was a mess up. At the Last Supper, Jesus is explaining that he is going to be killed. And Peter speaks up and says, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." He says that in Mark 14:31. What happens the next morning? He denies Jesus three times. That's another mess up. Now, these are just a few of many. Here's the last one I'm going to give you. Right after Jesus restores Peter and indicates that he will have an opportunity to die for him, Peter pointed at John and said, "But Lord, what about him?" You can find that in John 21:21. Basically, Jesus is telling Peter, it's none of your business about him. Just focus on yourself. So here we go. Peter. He had just received the Holy Spirit. He is standing up, preparing to speak. And I think the disciples, knowing his history, are looking at this and going, "Oh, dude, no, Peter, no, just sit down. But he doesn't. And why? Because there was something different about him. He had the breath of the Holy Spirit. He had the pneuma. Peter has new breath. Peter preaches an amazing sermon. Absolutely amazing. 3,000 people get saved. And from that point, everything begins to change for them. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And that's going to say, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of the bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. It's not you. It's not me. Yeah, I'm the one that everybody's watching right now, but I'm not the one that makes a difference. Who is? God. God is the only difference maker in existence. But what does life look like now, away from the crowd? What is going to happen when they simply start walking in the Spirit? I have a question. And it's not rhetorical. What did Jesus come here to do? What was that? Good. Saving. Good. Ultimately, Jesus came here to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. That's what he initially came here for. He spends most of his ministry doing what? Teaching about the kingdom of God. It is the antithesis of what our world is. And how do we know that? Well, let's look at what the world teaches us. Number one, the world will say, look after yourself, because no one else will. Love those who love you, but hate those who hate you. Do whatever makes you happy, whatever floats your boat, or however you want to say it. He who dies with the most toys, what? Wins. See, y'all know this. You deserve to indulge yourself. Or winning isn't everything. It is the only thing. I can't tell you how many times I heard my coaches telling me that when I was playing baseball. John 18:36, Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. You see, the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world is what? Love. That is the difference. In the world, we are motivated by self-love. But in the kingdom, God's kingdom, we are motivated by our love for God, our love for Jesus, and our love for the people, for others. It is in the kingdom of God where we experience that all that God has for us kind of way of life. And Paul describes this kind of life in Romans 12. Let's look at verse 9 through 21. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. That's probably the hardest thing to do. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. It is only by the power that we receive by walking in the Holy Spirit that we can live in God's kingdom. So let's look at Peter and John to see how this works. And this is where we are finally at our text for today. So please stand for the reading of God's text for today. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" You may be seated. Let's go back to verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those entered the temple. The gate of Beautiful, the best that I can figure out on this, there's not a whole lot of information on, but the best I can figure out is the gate Beautiful is an inner gate within the compound of the temple in Jerusalem. Okay, so it's an inner gate that you pass through to go to the steps leading into the temple. That's the best information I can find on that. But as we know, this man is being laid at the inner gates inside of the temple compound. Okay. Verse 3 through 5. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Now, can you imagine this scene? I mean, can you picture it in your mind? Because it is very vivid at this point. Verse 7. We're going to skip 6. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Okay. This portion of scripture is being written by a doctor. This is the only place in scripture that this kind of wording is used. An actual doctor. Now, imagine, you have not walked in 40 years. Okay? Your muscles begin to atrophy in about a week. And Dr. Luke is telling us that instantly, this man who has never walked a day of his life, instantly the muscles are strengthened, his ligaments are loosened, and the bones are made solid so that this man could walk instantly. Verse 8 through 10. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonders and amazement at what had happened to him. They knew this guy. They have seen this man their entire life, probably. He was a fixture of this community. And now he can walk, which is why everyone was amazed at this sight. I mean, wouldn't you be? Wouldn't you be absolutely amazed if someone that you knew their entire life was completely crippled and instantly was able to walk? Verses 11 and 12 of our text. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us? As though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk." Look at the brand new Peter. Check him out. He's throwing everything back at the public, saying, "Hey guys, I'm not God. I'm not the one that can do this. Jesus did this through me." That's what he's saying right here. He immediately is pointing to Jesus. He is taking no credit for this. He is giving all the credit and glory where it belongs. Jesus said this in John 15:4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." In other words, you can't do anything without Jesus. You can't do anything without God. They are the vines. We are the fruit producers for the vine. But we can't do it by ourselves. We need guidance of God and Jesus through the Holy Spirit. John 15:4. No, sorry. Lost my place in my notes. This is what Peter is talking about, though. The Spirit uses people who are doing the right things at the right time. Again, look at verse 1 of our text. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. We're being told right here, they are being positioned at the right place at the right time. But you have to be available and willing and open to being used by God. Here's a little secret for those who play sports, or rather, for those who don't play sports. If you make yourself available to your coach when he needs to replace somebody, who do you think he's going to call? You. Same thing applies. God is our coach. And there comes a time where he's going to need to throw us into a play. We've got to be available for that. God isn't looking for the smartest person. He's not looking for the most educated. He's not looking for the most charismatic person or the best looking person. I mean, that's obvious. Look at your pastor. I don't fit any of these. But he is looking for the person that is doing the right things and is available to be used. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here I am. Send me. We have to be willing to also be interrupted. We have to allow our life to be interrupted and be okay with this. Acts 3:4. This is verse 4 of our text. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. You have to figure that Peter and John are extremely busy guys. I mean, they're on their way to the temple for an appointment. There is a 20th century theologian and author named Andre Nguyen. And he wrote a book called Out of Solitude. And he said this, I used to get frustrated when my agenda was constantly being interrupted until I realized that those interruptions were my agenda. How many times has God called you in your life and you have been too busy and you felt upset because your needs or desires or things that you had to do got interrupted? It's not our agendas that need to be fulfilled here on this earth. It's God's agenda. And only God's agenda. Which leads us to paying attention to the needs of others. Stop focusing on ourselves. Again, verse 4 of our text. You have to be tuned into the Spirit. There may be 15 people who ask you for money and you just walk on by asking for alms. If you are truly in tuned with the Spirit, you will know exactly the moment that the Holy Spirit tells you, stop. Help them. For 40 years, this guy sat in the same spot, which means that Peter and John had to have walked past this man throughout their life. Jesus walked past this man. But now the Holy Spirit is telling these two disciples, stop and help him. And then we have to be willing to give what God is giving us to give. Look at verse 6 of our text. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." This story is showing that Peter and John are focused on others. They're not focused on themselves. And when we are focused on others, then that leads us to be willing to promote God, not ourselves. We cannot promote ourselves in the process of this, because it takes away from God at that point, and it puts people's focus on us, and that's the wrong place to be. God always has to get the focus, always has to get the grace, always has to get the glory in everything. Acts 3:12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" God gets the glory. It isn't about making me feel good or promoting our kingdom here on earth. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to show how God is to be glorified, how God is good, and we are to promote the kingdom of God. In conclusion, this is the Christian life. This is living in the kingdom of God. It is amazing, yet too many Christians will get saved and continue to live in the exact same world that they lived in before. And they miss so much of the life that God has planned for them. One more lesson, and this is from the perspective of the beggar. Let's look at our text, verses 4 through 6. Put yourself in his shoes for a second, because that's what is showing. And fixing the beggar's eyes on John and Peter, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Could you imagine the pain and hurt that he felt at first when he's being told, I know you're broke and you're asking for money, but I ain't going to give that to you. Just imagine the flash of hatred and pain that man probably experienced when someone is coming up to you. You're asking for money and they're like, "Nah, I ain't going to give that to you." But could you imagine? That man never expected to ever be able to walk, let alone receive that instead of money. Because God had a different plan. Because my plan for people isn't going to go well. That beggar's plan was to sit at that gate every day. But now he doesn't have to, because something better has happened to him. Instead of asking God to bless our agendas, let's start focusing our prayers for guidance to fulfill his agendas. That's the focus. That's what we are here to do. Instead of walking in this world, we need to shift gears and we need to begin walking in the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, We ask that you pour your Holy Spirit upon each person here. Each person who is watching this message. Touch them with all of your love, your compassion, your grace, and your mercy. Guide us through your ministry. Show us exactly what we are here to do to fulfill your plans and your will. We are your servants, and we want nothing more to do on this earth than what you want us to do. We ask you to give us those opportunities, to show us and guide us, teach us and mold us. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you're here today and you are ready to give up your agenda in your life and to give your life a new purpose, a new meaning, and to begin your journey walking in the Spirit, then come forward. Bring your life to Jesus. Bring your whatever's going on in your life to his feet. Give it to him. And then leave it there. Don't ask for it back. Don't take it back away from him. We all need prayer. We all need to be in prayer. And now is that moment. If you are in need of giving your life to Jesus, come see me. Come see our deacon. Give us that opportunity to bring you closer to God. If you're here today and you're in need of getting on your knees in prayer, now is that time. Come forward to his altar, to his place of worship. I love you all. And God loves you. Have a blessed week.
Psalm 143, 5 and 6. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land.